I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Bart Winkler. Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show alongside Carlos Ortiz. By this time tomorrow, we'll know probably two-thirds, three-fourths, somewhere in there. We'll know a good percent of the picks taken in round one. We'll certainly know the top 10 in the 2025 NFL draft. You know, I'd like to sit back and just marvel. I'm seeing a lot of the pictures and images of Green Bay, what it looks like. Beautiful, by the way. Excited to check it out. But this is all for a draft. There's no game. There's no physical activity of any kind. Although I think the guys that are there are going to ride a bike to the stage. I think I saw that. It's a tradition the Packers do at training camp, and there's like team bikes given out. I think we see that tomorrow, so that would be some sort of physical activity. And then, of course, the big old meaty hug from Roger Goodell will be in there as well. Can't you tell? But we're all just going to watch a bunch of names be called. First night's exciting because some of the guys are there, and, you know, we've been talking about it for so long, but essentially, we've built a giant stage in the middle of a neighborhood to watch names be read off note cards. So whenever I talk about the NFL and when is too big, I got to remind myself that they are flying to Green Bay, Wisconsin at the end of April to hold what will be the biggest event to ever have been or ever will be held in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Nothing ever will be bigger than this. Even when the National Railroad Museum down the street from Lambeau turns 200, it will not be bigger than this. Even when Doug Gottlieb wins his fifth game in a season for the first time ever next March, it will not be bigger than this. It will be huge. So what will those names be? Who's going to be read on the cards? I got a mock draft for you. Forget Daniel Jeremiah. Forget Peter Schrager. Forget Mel Kiper. With all due respect, forget our first hour guest, Lindsay Rhodes. What do the odds say? What do the odds say for who is going where? Well, folks, I will tell you. Pick number one in the NFL draft, according to the odds. Vegas. Pick your sportsbook of your choice. Minus 20,000 is Cam Ward to the Tennessee Titans. What does that mean exactly? Well, simple lesson in betting, if you go $100 and you say they have plus 100 odds, that means you win $100 on your $100 bet. So you bet 100, you put in the slip, you win, then you get 200 back, the 100 that you bet, and then the 100 that you won. If it's plus 375, you would then bet 100, get that 100 back, and get $375 back. If it's, let's say, a slight favorite, minus 125, well, you would bet 100, and it's a favorite, so you're not getting a full 100 in terms of winnings. You're getting $80. You've won $80, so you would get $180 back because you get your $100 back and then another $80. Minus $20,000 means if you bet $100, you will get your $100 back and then another 49 cents. That's how likely it is, how locked in it is that Cam Ward is going to be number one. If you really had some money, you could bet $1 million. Would you do this, Carlos? If you had $1 million, would you go to a sports book, put it on Cam Ward? Essentially, that'd be a free $5,000.
No. But also, if I had $1 million, I wouldn't be here.
But if there's any scenario where he doesn't get drafted number one, you would then lose $1 million.
Yeah,
but
not worth it.
Otherwise, it's a free $5,000. So that's what the odds are.
Yeah, but yeah. Then watch. You put down $1 million and watch them take a tackle.
Or trade the pick. But Cam Ward, number one, I think that's happening. Travis Hunter's odds are not 16 to 1, but 1 to 16. That means if you were to bet $100, you would get your $100 back and make $6.25. Betting $1 million would get you a cool $62,000. Interesting. Although at that point, I mean, just put it in the bank. I don't know what you're doing. Abdul Carter is 1 to 8. So really, and Will Campbell is 1 to 5, minus 500. So Vegas thinks, and this is important because they're going to make or lose money off of this. And I'm saying Vegas, overarching for any sports book anywhere. It's not just limited to Las Vegas, but Vegas thinks that the first four are pretty much set, or there's hardly going to be a surprise. Cam Ward, 1, Travis Hunter, 2, Abdul Carter, that hurts my Shadur bet, 3 to the Giants, and then Will Campbell, 4 to the Patriots. Number 5 would be Ashton Jeanty is minus 200, and then Mason Graham, defensive lineman, Michigan, is plus 200. And this is where the draft is expected to either take a pivot or, I mean, this is the fork in the road. I don't think that the top four are the top four. I don't think so. I think something's going to happen. Now, if I had to pay $1 million, would I bet on that? No, I would probably say no. But gut feeling-wise, or maybe it's wishful thinking, I just hope we didn't come this far to come this far. Cam Ward, 1. Travis Hunter, 2. Abdul Carter, 3. Will Campbell, 4. We don't want that. We want action. ACTION. Action, boys. Action. We want action. Do you like my theory or my suggestion that, hey, if the Giants want Shadur, Carlos, why not trade down a little bit, get Shadur a little later? It's getting to the point where I don't know if I can find anyone that's going to be able to be convinced from me that the Giants aren't taking Abdul Carter.
Yeah, you know why it's not going to happen? Because the Giants don't make the smart decision. To trade down, get an extra pick, and still get Shadur Sanders if they like him would be such a smart, shrewd move that you know they're not going to do it, because that was a similar thought process when they were going to draft Daniel Jones. They had 2 first-round picks in that draft. They had the number 6 overall, and then they had the 5th. They had the 17th, and that's where they got Dexter Lawrence. The thought was, hey, if you really like Daniel Jones, nobody thinks he's the 6th best player in college. So use your first-round pick, the 6th one, on Josh Allen, the pass rusher, and then go get Daniel Jones with your 2nd pick, or even your trade up a little bit if you want to do that. Like, you don't need to go ahead and reach for the guy that you like but don't love. So that's why they're going to take Shadur Sanders at 3 if they like him, because they just cannot read the draft board. They'll trade back when it makes no sense, and they'll stand pat when it makes no sense.
Yeah, it seems like even if they're in, like, I don't know.
They're not trading back. They're not trading back whatsoever.
Then they're taking Abdul Carter.
They're going to take up, well, and I'm fine with that. But I think what's starting to happen now is the prevailing thought is that the Giants are going to trade back into the first round. They're gonna flip that second round pick that they have and an extra asset. They're going to come back up and get somebody.
Well, and that's where still I think that the four quarterback thing is in play, even if the Giants don't take Shadur. I mean, you could have a quarterback at 9 be Shadur Sanders. You could have a quarterback still at 21, maybe Jackson Dart. And then you have the Browns with pick number 33 and the Giants with pick number 34 to start round 2. If the Browns don't take a quarterback and the Giants don't take a quarterback, well, then it's going to be a race between those two teams to trade back into round 1 to find their mark, to find the guy, the team they could trade with, and then take that quarterback. So they're going to be, by not taking a quarterback, they are maybe making the right move, but they're also making a lot more work for themselves trying
to
figure out. Yeah, but they're making more work for themselves figuring out, well, where do we trade? Let's say, and when do we trade? You know, let's say the Giants are like, we're trading into the first round and we want to trade up to, you know, with the Commanders, as, you know, far-fetched as that is, to 29. They'd almost have to do it right before 29. They can't do it earlier because then the Browns are like, well, we're going to trade up. You can get these teams jockeying trades. How do you know that the Browns aren't calling? So on any of these teams, like the Rams might want to trade down. The Vikings might want to trade down at 24. So if I'm the Vikings, I'm sitting there thinking I've got a spot where the Browns and Giants could both be calling me, and maybe I'm getting a lot more for 24 than I should be. So there's just a lot. This is what's going on. There's a lot of maneuvering. There's a lot of feeling out. There's a lot of jockeying behind the scenes that we're not privy to. Or maybe there's not. Maybe every team is just as stupid as Nico Harrison and they make one phone call and that's it. Maybe that's it. But they've had 4 months to figure this out. You think something's got to be happening here. So we'll see. All right. So for back for the odds and back to what you can expect, or at least where we are the night out, is Cam Ward 1, Travis Hunter 2, Abdul Carter 3, Will Campbell, Lyman, LSU 4. Number 5 is a fork in the road. It could be Genty. It could be Mason Graham. And then number 6, the leader would be Armon Membo, offensive lineman out of Missouri. And that's probably the pick if Genty does go. Otherwise, this could be Genty. So now it's not as clear who goes to the Raiders at 6. At 7, he leads the odds at 6. He also leads the odds at 7, Armon Membo. But you could also have Tyler Warren, tight end Penn State, go to the Jets. It does seem like the Jets are in on a tight end. And there's a couple of tight ends that could go within the top 15. Colston Loveland, Michigan, the other one. Jacksonville, I mentioned, and I'm thinking Carolina. I'm thinking it's 1993 again. Carolina then could take Jalen Walker or Michael Williams. Jalen Walker seems to be the guy, edge guy out of Georgia. 9 would then be Williams. Williams, edge guy out of Georgia, so they could have their picks there. And then number 10, and this is what the odds are saying up to this point, which by tomorrow they could be shattered. Then you're looking at Tyler Warren or Ashton Genty or Calvin Banks, and it's kind of a hodgepodge of whoever didn't get taken, whoever fell. This is where they could land with the Bears. The Bears certainly want Ashton Genty. I don't think he makes it down to 10. I don't think he makes it past 6. And now a lot of people are putting him to the Jaguars. It's somebody picking on me again because I say Jaguars, which is like the actual most minor complaint that anyone could have in the history of the world is how Bart Winkler says Jaguars. You cannot slice that atom any thinner. That's the lowest complaint or thing that bothers you that could exist. you watch TV, there's things that bother you about different people. That's fine. It's going to happen. You know, you pick up on their tells. That's, yeah. But the most minor out of any of those is how I say the Jacksonville mascot, which is why I'm officially going just back to Jags, which maybe I'm saying that wrong. Jags. Jags? Jags? Jags?
Duval.
I'll go with that. I brought up to Lindsay Rhodes, Sumer Sports. I brought up which team could throw just a real hand grenade into this thing. She mentioned possibly the Dolphins. San Francisco at 11, with everything that they've got going on. We floated yesterday an idea that, you know, maybe they don't want to pay Brock Purdy, and maybe taking a quarterback is their way out. But I am kind of intrigued with them taking a tight end there. Now, I don't know if they like Loveland as much as Warren, or maybe they trade up. But would it surprise you? George Kittle had a really nice year last year. And he apparently wants to be the highest paid tight end, but then he's refuting Diana Russini's reports on Twitter. I mean, Kittle's 31 years old. If you've got a contract dispute, one way to end that is to take his replacement and then say goodbye to George Kittle. So I don't think that it happens, but I would like to believe that there's one team that we're not really talking about that could completely throw a wrench into this. And part of it is the nature of the buildup to the draft. The way we've built up this draft, we've really been talking about the top 10, really the top three. That you've got the Niners at 11. You got the Cowboys at 12. You got the Dolphins at 13. I mean, these would be lottery picks in the NBA. You got the Colts at 14. Any one of these teams can just rock the whole apple cart. Any team that you like, Carlos, that might make things a little bit interesting? Or?
Yeah. There's,
yeah, what?
There's one team that comes to mind because it's nobody's talking about them. So why wouldn't they just, you know, put the pin off over the grenade and make a mess in the room? The Dolphins.
Say it. Oh, you're with Lindsay?
Yeah. Listen, I understand why they needed to pay Tua. You know, they didn't really have any alternatives. You saw what happened when he got hurt. They had to roll out like Skylar Thompson and Teddy Bridgewater and, you know, and all these other just mishmash that quarterback. Tua is their guy when he's healthy, but he's never healthy. He hasn't been healthy in 3 years. And he's one concussion away. I don't care how much jujitsu and how much learning he knows how to fall and bulking up and Ozempic he takes. He's one hit away from it being done so. I don't think that they can confidently roll into another season banking on Tua's health. So I would not be surprised at all. I mean, I'm lying. I would be shocked. But I'm just saying, I would not be surprised at all if Miami just winds up saying, you know what, let's get a quarterback too.
Yeah, no, that could be interesting. I was kind of surprised they paid him as much as they did pay him.
You have to, but
if Tua... So, Brock Purdy, big discussion, right? If Tua is getting 52, 53, he's making 53-1 a year. How does Brock Purdy accept less than that? You know?
If he's smart, he does what Tom Brady did. And listen, I think Brock Purdy, he really is a fine quarterback. His draft status no longer matters anymore. It does not matter that he was the last pick in the draft. They've lucked into a guy considering they moved up heaven and earth to get Trey Lance, and that was a complete bust. So Brock Purdy saved their ass, and he does deserve a big payday. But he would be foolish enough, to take every single penny that he can get because they're getting a little long in the tooth in terms of the rest of their talent there. Christian McCaffrey, another year older, and he's coming off of another season where he's beat up. And it seems to be alternating with him, Lane. So watch him have a great year this year. But you can't count on CMC for too much longer. It almost seems like they are buyer's remorse on Brandon Ayuk already. They're looking to move on from guys. George Kittle reportedly said no, but he might want a new deal. I think Brock Purdy would be smart to get into just 50. If you want to get $50 million just to say that you're there, cool. Don't go for 55. Don't go for 60. Don't try to go crazy because you're going to wind up hurting yourself. And he's going to be stuck on a bad team, and they're all going to be looking at him.
The following thing that is going to come out of my mouth is only coming out of my mouth because of how long we've had to wait for this draft. What if the 49ers traded Brock Purdy and then he got an extension somewhere else? Would the Giants pay him $55 million? Would the Browns pay him $55 million? Would the Steelers take Brock Purdy and pay him $55 million?
I think two of those teams would.
Well, should the Niners be exploring that?
Yeah. You know what? That's not a bad idea. I mean, look at the season they just came off of. Yes, they are 1 year removed from a Super Bowl, but I believe the reality for the 49ers is what we saw last year than what we saw the year prior.
Niners trade pick 11. No, they keep pick 11. They trade Brock Purdy to the Steelers. Would they trade their first round pick? I mean, if you're going to draft Shedeur Sanders or Jackson Dart, you'd trade your first round. You'd rather have Brock Purdy than those guys, right?
Well, the argument that the Steelers or somebody in that range would make is, all right, we're going to have to pay this guy, though. If I'm the 49ers, right, yes, right, I want your first round pick. But the counter is, hey, we're going to have to pay this guy a boatload of money. So maybe not the first. We'll give you our two and then a first next year or something like that. There's smarter people than me that actually do this kind of stuff in terms of calculating the value of the pick. But, yes, the 49ers should be asking for your first round. If I'm the Steelers, I'd be like, we will hold on to that, but we'll give you a first later.
All right. It is
the 49ers aren't going to be that good this year.
No,
I think they can afford to be patient.
I want to do what I told Lindsay we'd do. I asked Lindsay Rhodes to make a wild prediction, and we're only going to hype it up if it comes true. So I want to do the same thing. We're not going to do anything with this unless it comes true, but it is 11:21 Eastern, April 23rd. I need a better way to prove this, that it's 11:21 Eastern. Because the things, I want to just read scores and be like, here's what's going on right now.
Take a video with your phone while you're saying whatever it is you're saying and have that video of the phone look at the clock.
Okay. All right, I'll do that. All right, it's 11:21 Eastern. And there's the date on the computer. There's another computer, and here's a board that I can't change. There's no date on that. There's a phone. Maybe that shows the date. Don't be surprised if Brock Purdy ends up a Pittsburgh Steeler after this NFL draft. This video is being recorded to be deleted the moment that it doesn't happen, but if it happens, we're spreading this thing like wildfire.
Oh, I'll edit that part out.
Carlos said he'd edit that part out. That doesn't pick up on my video. Okay. All right. See, those are the things that come out of a person's mouth when we've been talking about the draft for 4 months.
Yeah. 888. Like Super Bowl was 20 years ago.
710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. MLB power rankings this hour. Dare we put the Cubs at number one? Carlos, big night, big series.
What a tease.
That coming up. Much more on the draft. It's the Bart Winkler Show.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show alongside Carlos Ortiz. 888-710-4ISN. Talking some NFL draft. We will catch you up on the playoff action in the NHL and the NBA throughout the night as well. Our power ranking segment is back this week. Worst and five. That's a play on how we do it in the NFL, but it still makes sense. We'll give you the worst team in baseball now throughout the summer and the five best teams. We'll switch that back up to football once it's football time. And We already know the first game of the 2025 NFL season. No, not the Thursday night opener. The Pro Football Hall of Fame game will be between the Los Angeles Chargers and the Detroit Lions. Antonio Gates is headlining the 2025 Hall of Fame class. He is a Detroit native. So there's the connection. The game is set for July 31st in Canton, Ohio, the Hall of Fame enshrinement on August 3rd. Chargers' last appearance was in 1994. I believe the year they went to the Super Bowl, and the Lions' last appearance in this game was 1991. So Chargers and Lions, a potential Super Bowl preview, perhaps, asked by fans of those two teams and no one else. Robert's in Wisconsin talking about the NFL draft. We're a day out and I'm just trying to throw anything crazy at the wall to see if it sticks. So now my bright idea is Brock Purdy traded to the Steelers somehow. What do you got, Robert?
I'm going to take Brock Purdy, and I'm going to send him to the Minnesota Vikings. I think Kevin O'Connell is looking for a quarterback to put his team over the top. Sam Darnold was one game away last year from giving them the number one seed. And Brock Purdy might be the missing link for the Vikings to get up there.
So you don't think that they believe in J.J. McCarthy?
I think J.J. McCarthy had an injury last year, so I don't believe that they think he's ready. And I think they think they're ready to take the next step to try to get to the Super Bowl and finally win one.
Yeah, that could be interesting. If that were to happen, Robert, thanks for the call, then they're done with J.J. McCarthy. Because Brock Purdy is going to get paid within the next couple of weeks, maybe tomorrow. You know what? Maybe even tomorrow before the draft, we find out. You know, there's usually like some big non-draft related news the day of the draft that just happens to get leaked or happen that day for some reason. So maybe it's a big Brock Purdy extension. So I'll go on record and saying that, too. I'll talk out of both sides of my mouth. Hey, don't be surprised if there's a big Brock Purdy extension tomorrow. But he has not been extended up to this point. So he will be extended. I would rather, or would rather believe, that it would be a team that, you know, they look at this quarterback class. This is why the Steelers might work, because you look at this quarterback class, and the Steelers are right dab in the middle of it. Now, they could get Shadur possibly to fall. They could get Jackson Dart. Where are the Steelers going to be drafting next year? Aaron Rodgers, you know, whatever. Where are the Steelers going to be drafting next year? Where do they always draft? Right here. They're going 9-8. They're going 9-8. I know how improbable it seems. It always seems improbable. But they're going 9-8. They always do. So they're going to draft right in the middle. So you're not going to get an Arch Manning. You're not going to get one of these other guys, Nussmeier. You're not going to get these guys. You could alleviate these problems by trading for Brock Purdy, and then you're set at quarterback. Brock Purdy, George Pickens, DK Metcalf, you could do worse than that. They do a lot worse than that. I don't know why he hasn't been signed up to this point. If he would have signed, I would have never had to go out on a limb to either sound very, very stupid or I'm a genius. There's no middle ground here. Who's talking about Brock Purdy getting traded? Nobody. But Bill Simmons in 2 weeks? Oh, I thought of the other thing that I think that he might have stolen from us. At the end of their podcast, they do a parent corner, which sounds off. Similar
he
to
is 1,000,000% listening to us. There's no corner. Way they did do a parent corner off of our dad corner.
Well, how long have we been doing dad corner?
Dad corner's been a couple of months at this point.
I don't know how long they've been doing parent corner, so I do have to look into that. But we've been doing dad corner
again.
Me and Marco.
I made this threat last night. Bill Simmons and whoever you work with, if I hear in 2 weeks that you say that the Chiefs are not making the playoffs, I know damn well you stole that from me because no one's saying the Chiefs are going to miss the playoffs except for me.
All right. 888-710-4ISN. I can get Greg in Michigan before the update. What's up, Greg?
Alberto, it's the warrior, Mr. Positive. Oh, my God, it's been a while, my friend. And I got to tell you, your presence on social media is everywhere. I am so proud of you, young man. And
well, my views don't really say that, but I'm glad that it's popping up in your algorithm.
Oh, my God, is it ever. I love it. Your little hat on. I don't know that little logo, but it's it looks good on you.
My little hat?
You wear the hat that covers your head, and it has a little logo.
Most hats do.
But I got to tip my cat off to you, my hat off to you, your Milwaukee Brewers, beat my Tigers, but we're really playing well. Detroit!
We're not Detroit!
I love that. Real quick, my Pistons have a chance of beating the New York Knicks. And LeBron and Luka look like they're going to go places. Do you think my Pistons are going to beat the Knicks? Is it going to take
I don't. I don't think they'll beat them, but I also don't believe. I don't believe that they can't. I think they can. Okay. I don't think they will, but I certainly think they can, but I don't think they will.
Okay. Lakers going to go far?
I don't think they can't.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, I will talk about the Lakers later tonight. I think I owe somebody an apology.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You got to be in seventh heaven. The NFL draft is in your backyard, and hopefully are you going to be there?
I'm going to be there on Thursday, yes. We'll be broadcasting live on Thursday night, so check out the show.
I will, buddy. Hey, thanks for taking my call. Good to talk to you. It's been a while. And everybody, go for your dreams. Thanks, Alberto. Carlos.
Greg in Michigan, appreciate you.
Did he really ask you if you're going to be in the draft?
Yeah, I don't think he listens to the show. I think he just calls.
I mean, it's not like you haven't been talking about it for 2 weeks.
No, I think he just calls.
Literally, just calls every night. He doesn't get on every night, but he calls every night.
I've listened to a lot of hosts that freak out when a caller won't know what you're talking about, but I do think that the amount of people that call that aren't listening at all, they just call, is a lot higher than people think that do this job.
Yeah, I don't know who your producer is, but you got to start cracking the whip because I'm starting to not to let that like that. It's got to not fly around here.
I don't think it hinders the show in any way. I mean, it does kind of sound stupid when they're like, what's going on tonight? Well, I mean, we're on 300 affiliates, but I don't see.
Yeah, I get more calls per capita than any other show. Like, hey, what you talking about? Well, what the hell are you calling me for?
People don't know. People just know. They know they want to call. They know they want to call and talk to me. Is that the worst problem to have?
Yes, because it makes my job harder.
Well, why don't you suck it up and do your job?
I don't want to.
Nice, two of us. Oh, I kid. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Let's get an update. This man wants to do it. It's Gordon Damer.
I've got the power!
It's time for Power Rankings, Bart Winkler style.
You know what? You just made the list.
It's Worst and Five. Here's Bart Winkler.
All right, every Wednesday we do our power rankings. The NBA and NHL are in their respective playoffs. The NFL has a draft tomorrow, so we'll do the league that's in season. Major League Soccer, number five, the NYCFC club.
I'll take that.
The worst team in the league. Last week I did the White Sox. I'm probably going to do the White Sox a lot this year, so I want to make sure I'm an equal opportunity hater. And for this week, I will take the 4-18 Colorado Rockies.
You suck!
Minus 52 run differential is the worst in the league, so I will go with the Rockies.
You suck!
Yeah, I also got to go with the Rockies. It's amazing because I wanted to go White Sox, but I have a feeling I'm going to lay into them being a Jerry Reinsdorf-owned team a lot this season as well. I also gave some consideration to the Marlins because when are they ever good? They're going to have to trade Sandy Alcantara sooner rather than later. But I'm going to go with the Rockies as well. One of the things that really obviously stuck out to me is just how bad that Chris Bryant signing worked out for them. He just got put on the injured list last week. Dude, he's got lumbar degenerative disc disease. He might never play again, and that's just disheartening because he was so good for the Cubs, and I was so pissed that they let him walk. Now I'm like, okay, they absolutely saw something. It's just tough luck for Colorado, and already in an environment that's so grueling to play at, being so high in the air. So, unfortunately for the Colorado Rockies, this won't be the last time you hear it. Worst team in baseball.
You suck!
All right, for the best teams in the league. And I will start at number five.
Number five.
Last week, by the way, my top five was Padres 1, Dodgers 2, Giants 3, Yankees 4, Rangers 5. I'm going to put the Yankees at number five, 15 and 10. My other options here would be the Tigers or would be the Rangers. Possibly the Giants, but I just figure if the Yankees were to play any of those teams in a series, they would beat their ass. So I'm going to go with the Yankees at number five. At number four.
Number four.
Could this be the lowest they are all season? It is the Los Angeles Dodgers. And I should also say then at number three.
Number three.
Is the Chicago Cubs. Cubs just beat the Dodgers twice, including tonight. So I got to put the Cubs ahead of the Dodgers. The Dodgers, who I thought would go 130 and 32, are right now 16 and 9. The Cubs are 16 and 10. Thing about the Cubs, too, is they believe they have something special going. And I don't know how much chemistry plays a part in baseball. It's kind of a solo sport being played by a team, but that belief that something special's happening, I do think is a tangible thing in baseball, and they seem to have that. Number two.
Number two.
Still putting the Padres at number two. They lead the West, which has three teams above, four teams above 600, and they're on top of it. 12-1 at home. I will put them at the top. And then at number one.
Number one.
Seven-game win streak, 12-1 at home. Even Yankees fans are pretending to like the Mets right now. It is the New York Mets, 18-7, sit the Mets. So my five, Yankees, four Dodgers, three Cubs, two Padres, one, the Nye Mets, Carlos.
Wow, that is a totally different top that I thought we were going to have together. But at number five.
As long as we have the same.
Yeah, we essentially
bottom.
Do. We actually have all the same teams this time, so I'll just get right into it.
Number five.
Last week, I did not have any American League team in my top five. I didn't think there were any good ones. Now I actually think the Yankees do get enough credit at 15 and 10 to be at number five. They got a lot of good pieces. I mean, Ben Rice has seemingly come out of nowhere. He had a little bit of a breakout last year.
Jerry's
when
kid.
He called him up. The San Francisco treat. But no, Ben Rice has been a revelation for them. He really hits with a lot of pop. Aaron Judge is Aaron Judge. You thought the pitching would be an issue for them, but Gerrit Cole being hurt, obviously he's a blow. But Max Fried has really stepped up and earned that contract, highest in the history for a left-hander ever. So the Yankees at number five for me at number four.
Number four.
Like you, I also am going to slide the Dodgers here. Now, Shohei Ohtani's back. After having his kid, so congratulations to him. And they still got all the usual suspects in terms of the big names, but they haven't quite put it together. Now, they have had injuries. They've had people coming in and out of the lineup. You know, Freddie Freeman missed a couple of games. Mookie Betts has been sick from that, whatever the hell, food poisoning or weird thing that he had. So they'll just be fine, but they are losing to teams that are also in their tier. So something to keep an eye on. At number three.
Number three.
You have them at one. I have the Mets at three. Now, I want to remind everybody, I had the Mets at 5 on my ranking, so I was already ahead of the curve. They still aren't playing great, but they are riding a 7-game winning streak. They have the best ERA in terms of their rotation. And people thought that that starting pitching was going to be a huge question mark when they lost Sean Manaea, and they still don't have Frankie Montas, who's been hurt. So they're doing it with a bunch of one-year deals, like Griffin Canning. The Mets are absolutely impressive, and Juan Soto hasn't hit his stride yet. So I do like the Mets, but I have them at number 3 for now. Number two. I waffle with this. I should maybe in another week have them at number 1. It's the Padres. Fernando Tatis Jr. was the NL Player of the Week last week. He's reached base safely in 21 games. He's an early front runner for the MVP. I love me some Tatis, but I got to go with my team at number 1. And this is not me being a homer. The Cubs do deserve the number 1 spot. They have the best offense in the majors. Highest run differential. No Justin Steele, no problem. They haven't been tripped up yet, and they're doing against the toughest schedule in baseball. They have the most wins against teams over 500. So for me, Yankees at 5, Dodgers 4, Mets at 3, Padres at 2, and the Cubs at number 1.
Yeah, people are really buying in on the Mets. I put them at number 1. You're not there yet.
Yeah, I'm not. I think they can be.
Cubs at one.
I
want to
see.
On.
No, dude, the Cubs. It really is shows you something. It is something special. Pay Kyle Tucker whatever he wants. Look who they're playing. The Mets just beat up on the Athletics. The Phillies are a good team, fine, but they beat up the A's. They stink.
We've got people that want to talk about the MLB. We've got people that want to talk about the NBA and the NFL. And oh my gosh, Titans 1 on the clock. They're making moves. Details next.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time, or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
To hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.